this morning. We've got a number of readings that we're going to have from Scripture to help us as we come to God's Word. So let's listen to Bill as he reads for us.
Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. James 2:15-17. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps your one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Luke 6:27-36.
As we stand, we pray. Lord, speak to us now as we come and as we listen for your voice in the preaching of your word. Speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, and then speak to our actions. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down, everyone. And you might want to have a Bible open in front of you, although most of the words that we're going to use from Scripture this morning will appear on the screen as we go along. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this is one in quite a long series of sermons that we're having through the summer. And actually, as time goes on, as we have been going through them, as I've thought about this, how appropriate they seem to be to the times in which we are living in. What should the people of God be doing? What should the church be showing to a needy world? We need to be in prayer. Just as we listen and watch the news, the first item on the news over the last week or so, if you watch certain news channels with the initials B and B and C in them, is about the Tokyo Olympics. And it's almost like we need to hear about the Tokyo Olympics. You can't watch the Tokyo Olympics very much because we don't have the rights in this country to watch all the Olympics. You're only allowed to watch two live sports at a time. You don't even have the red button. Remember the red button on the BBC? You could watch all these different sports. Anyway, the BBC News is all about the Tokyo Olympics, the first item. Meanwhile, a rumbling war that has gone on and on and on for years and years, 30 years, 40 years, in Afghanistan is exploding. And we need to be in prayer today for that nation as the coalition forces have pulled out and the Afghan government tries to control the situation and the Taliban are taking control. It seems to me that the world is in such dire need of God's grace, of God's kindness. And how is that primarily going to be seen and felt an experience that is through God's people showing that to one another and to the world, that we are primarily about kindness. Take a moment this morning and think about people in your life who have been kind to you. Kind to you in such a way that it has led you to the place of faith. Just take a moment and think about that. I think of three different groups of people, or three different people in my life who have done that. Miss Godwin, you've heard me talk about Miss Godwin before, my primary school teacher who put up with me in her class, in her SU class, when I sat at the back and basically just carried on for most of the time. She put up with me and listened to me and tolerated me and was unbelievably kind to me. Then it was Mrs. Murray, who encouraged me to read and read and read and read and read. She would come to school with books and that her son had been reading, and just encouraged me to be a reader. Her kindness was unbelievable. To this day, I think that she rigged the competition for the Ducks Medal in our school in my favour. So kind was she. I don't know that she did do that. I'm making an allegation. She's long passed away and gone to heaven. But she was unbelievably kind to me. And I think about the group of young people who, before I came to faith myself, opened their homes. A bit older than me, these people. And they opened their homes. Remember the days when we could open our homes to one another? There's nothing better at the moment than having people round and sitting in the garden. It's really great when we've got great weather to be able to do that. But remember the days when we could open our homes to one another and offer hospitality. And I can remember two couples who opened their homes to a group of young men and women. And we were round there just about every night of the week. They must have been so fed up with us. But so many of us, because of their kindness and their willingness to listen to us and to disciple us, so many of this group of young men in this little Ayrshire town came to faith in Christ. Kindness is an amazingly powerful tool in the hands of God. And it is a command that we should be kind people. It's not optional. It's not a choice that we should make. We should be obeying what God has said to us. That reading from Ephesians 4, remember what it says? Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander. Remember, this is written to the church. I love the fact that there was brawling going on in the church, potentially. I mean, we tend to, in this day and age, we tend to limit our brawling to verbal brawling, but we still do it, don't we? We still have that going on. Brawling and slander, bad-mouthing one another, along with every form of malice. Get rid of those things. Do away with those things. Those should not be marks of the church. Can you imagine that was what you put on your slogan? This is what we're about as a church. Bitterness, rage, and anger. That's what we do. But Paul writes, instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And you see, that's the starting place for kindness. Kindness starts because God is kind to us. He shows his kindness to us in Christ, because we have received forgiveness in him. But what is kindness? What is it? What is it? What is the word that Paul uses? What does it mean? For the time being, it's good to understand kindness by putting it in the context with the fruit of the Spirit that we've been reading about and learning about. Love, joy, and peace are essentially, at the simplest level, sort of inward attitudes that shine through us. So love, joy, and peace are things that are inside us, but kindness is outward. It's an outward action. It's a doing word. It's much more obvious in that sense. So essentially, kindness is love, but it's love in action. It's love that we put into practice because we have the love that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's what we do that is the evidence of the faith that has changed our lives completely. So if we claim to be followers of Christ and we are not kind people, that puts a question mark over what our walk with the Lord is really like. Without kindness, the works of love, there's really no evidence that we have the Holy Spirit within us. This is what James says so clearly, isn't it? We've just been studying James. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. So what is kindness? Well, kindness might be these things. Saying kind words in simple ways. That was a really delicious meal that you prepared. Have you ever noticed sometimes when you order food online for delivery, takeaway food, they'll sometimes write on the delivery box, if you like our food, please leave a review. They don't, I mean, which is lovely, isn't it? And I hope you do that, particularly if it's local. Just say kind words if you've enjoyed someone's service. Be kind to people. If you're in a restaurant and you get good service, then be kind and say that we've just so enjoyed being here today. If you're in church, be kind to one another. Be kind to the people who do the music or set up the back week by week and deliver the technology to make all of this happen. Say kind words. If you live with someone, don't just take them for granted, but say kind words. Thank you for taking out the rubbish. Thank you, because we just sort of do take stuff like that for granted. Thank you for doing the washing. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your kindnesses to me. So saying words is really, really important, whether we're out in the world, whether we're in church, whether we're at home. Kind words are important. Doing kind deeds. Doing kind deeds. That's become something that people have taken on board. That sometimes people call it paying it forward. Seeing someone in need. You're in a shop and you see someone is struggling to do their shopping and you decide, right, you're going to help them with the shop, maybe help them pack, or maybe even pay for the person in front of you, the person behind you, buy a coffee for the person behind you, do something kind for others. Let me do that. Let me do a kindness. And sometimes you do that in a way that is seen, and a lot of the time we do it in ways that aren't seen, doing kind deeds. Being, saying, doing, being. Kind attention, being with someone when they are hurting or sick or lonely or sad, giving time and attention to one another, listening to people who are in need. Just being with someone can be an act of kindness. And then lastly, going. Kind time. Going with someone who needs a companion. Going with someone to the hospital who's nervous about that experience. Spending time with people who need you to be alongside them. But where does kindness come from? Where do we find it? Well, it's no surprise to hear that the source of all kindness is from God himself. Kindness is good. Paul talks in Romans about the riches of his kindness, the riches of God's kindness. And kindness is something that isn't limited to just the church, to Christians. It's something that all human beings exhibit because we're all made in the image of God. We are all capable of showing kindness to one another. One of the shocking things that has been in the news lately is when the RNLI, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, crew members have been abused because they've been going out. The Royal National Lifeboat Institution has one mission, has one job, and that is to save lives at sea, on the sea. That is their mission. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how stupid you have been in your sailing activities, and lots of people go out on boats and do stupid things, or go out on their lilo in the sea and do stupid things. It doesn't matter how stupid you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your race is. The Royal National Lifeboat Institution's job is to save people at sea. And yet they've been given some abuse because some people have chosen to say unkind words to crew members who've been out rescuing illegal migrants. Now, whatever you think about the politics of that doesn't really matter. If people are going to die on the sea, do we just want them to, just that's fine, let them die on the sea? Do we believe that's the right thing to do? Of course we don't. They should be rescued. They should be saved. But some people are choosing to be unkind by slagging off the crews who are doing the rescuing. Shocking. Totally shocking, isn't it? That people would do that. The RNLI crews do what they do because they are trying to do a kind service to those who are in risk of losing their lives. Once we surrender our lives to God and allow His Spirit to live with us and in us, and then we should see the fruit of kindness developing in us and showing itself to all around us. See, it should go above and beyond our friends who are not believers. It should be such that those around us will say, I'm amazed by your kindness. I want to have what you have. Tell me what I must do to be saved. You see, it's an amazing evangelistic gift. So is there any difference between natural kindness, that which is common to all human beings, and supernatural kindness, that which is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, there's nothing wrong with that human kindness. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And this love in action to those who do deserve our love and care and help, those we are close to, like our family and friends, those to whom we have a natural relationship, like the poor or the sick, or those who are kind to us, they've been very kind to me and now I will be very kind to them, sort of a payback. There's nothing wrong with that. It's really biblical. You think about Ruth and Naomi in the Old Testament. That's the kind of kindness that was shown by Ruth and Naomi and by Boaz to both of them. We see it in the Old Testament very powerfully. But we have Spirit-led kindness as well as that natural kindness. It's a sign of God's work in the church when the Spirit causes us to be kind to those around us. And love in action will often be the case that it goes out to people who don't deserve our love and our care and our help. People we don't know or people who might be our natural enemies, those who might even want to hurt us. We should be kind to all without qualification. Listen to what Jesus had to say. We had it read for us a bit earlier by Bill, but let's listen to the words again. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. This is the principle at work. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill treat you. So if a government wants to place restrictions on us, we're wrestling at the moment with the whole possibility of government placing restrictions on people being able to go to places and do things because of the vaccination status. It's going to be potentially a huge issue. I see that the government have backed off from students having to have vaccination certificates to go to classes and so on. So hopefully they won't push this any further. I suspect there will be a huge level of rebellion against that curtailment of human liberties. But let's say they did. Let's say the pressure is on us in the coming years as followers of Jesus, as we're minimalized, as we're shoved to the margins of society. Supposing that happened, what should we do? Should we break out into civil war and fight a physical fight against those who would oppress us? Well, Jesus says, no, if someone slaps you on one cheek, give them the other one to slap as well. If someone steals from you and takes your coat, give them your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. In other words, be generous. And Jesus, very cleverly and rightly and wisely, what else could Jesus be and do? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because He is kind. He is kind. He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You'll know that one of my favorite stories, if not the favorite story of Jesus, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. What a great story that is. What a wonderful story that has come down over the last 2,000 years that is a kind of staple still in our culture. The Good Samaritan showed love in action to the Jew who hated him. He gave of his time and his money. He showed him love and care. He showed him kindness, unbelievable kindness. It was a story designed to make people sit up and be gobsmacked that such a message could come out. It was just not natural to show kindness like this. And you remember last week we thought a little bit about Paul and Silas in the Philippian prison cell. The earthquake strikes and the cell bursts open. The jailer would have expected them to seek revenge, to at least run away or to strike him down for his part in their suffering. But instead, he experiences kindness from them. Totally unmerited, totally undeserved. What an evangelistic tool kindness was and is. The Philippian jailer shouted out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" because of their kindness. So kindness comes out of a pure and a loving heart. There's no selfishness involved. It's a selfless kind of love. We think about others. Spiritual kindness is powerful. It is one of the most powerful tools the Lord can use, and it's one of those things, one of those fruit that all of us, without exception, can exhibit. All of us can display this to one another. We often use words like nice and pleasant when we think of kindness, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want to be nice people. We want to be pleasant people. But kindness is a word that's incredibly powerful. The Greek word translated as kindness is this word, Christotes. And it's used of the kindness of God towards us. Paul talks about it in Romans 2. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God's kindness is that of loving and caring for us, and most of all, forgiving us when we were still his enemies. The ultimate power of kindness is in forgiveness. So I wonder this morning whether there's forgiveness that we need to offer to someone, maybe to one another, maybe to someone that we know. Forgiveness is the ultimate kindness. The Bible, however, also makes it clear that kindness is not always nice. Kindness isn't always nice. Sometimes kindness hurts. Kindness can hurt. Were you aware of that? Can hurt to be kind. We get that saying, you've got to be cruel to be kind. You know that? You've got to be cruel to be kind. Psalm 141, verse 5 tells us this. It says this, "Let a righteous man strike me, that is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil on my head." I guess this is the idea of tough love. You've got to be tough. You've got to be tough in order to help people learn how to do things right. I was reading this morning about the GB rowing team at the Olympics. Anyone be following the rowing? We've been horrible. We've done really horribly this time round. And last year, the long-term coach of the team who'd had great success with GB rowers was, I don't know what the truth of this is, but it seemed to be let go. And some of the people in the team didn't like him because he was very tough. But man, that guy helped produce amazing levels of achievement from people like Cracknell and Sir Matthew Pinsent and people like that who speak very highly of him. And my guess is that the coach was someone who was a tough character who offered tough care to his team in order to achieve something. Now, I wonder whether that is something that is becoming less and less easy in our society, partly because there have been so many stories of abuse and so on, and we're so concerned about the potential for someone in authority abusing those who are in their care. But there is still a place for tough love. Tough love with our children, tough love in terms of how we operate as a church. Sometimes as a church we have to say to one another, you know, no, we're not going there. No, we're not doing that. Not, that is not the right thing for us or for you in particular to be doing. People react against that. We sometimes talk about it as being church discipline. When someone goes off the rails and gets something wrong, there has to be things done that show that God is in charge here, not human beings. And so there is a place for tough love. And actually, in the longer term, what the Bible tells us is it's a kindness. Let a righteous man strike me. That's a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. It really is love in action. That's doing a kindness to one another when we offer correction to one another. When we say, this is the way to go. This is how what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it looks like if you're a true disciple of his. Sometimes we need to do that with one another. So kindness, the best meaning of kindness is this: being loving, being forgiving, and seeking the good of others at all times. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that I end with this morning. We are called, I know some of you are great gardeners. I'm a rubbish gardener, as you know already, but I know that some of you are great gardeners and you spend the spring cultivating, getting ready for the summer when you'll see the fruit coming through the summertime. And so we are called to be people who cultivate in our lives and in the life of the church. And I think this is such a key fruit of the Holy Spirit that we as a church need to be working on, that we should be cultivating the fruit of kindness, so that God's love and power, that his kindness would be shown to a needy world. So will you do that? How will you do that this week? How can you be kind this week? Let me offer a few examples. Lots of us are getting stuff delivered rather than going to the shops at the moment. Ali calls me Dave McCarthy, chatty man. It's my new name, because anybody who comes to the door, I'll engage them in conversation. And if it's someone delivering something and they're not pushed for time, I'll find out how their day's going. How's your day going? How's it been today? How's it going? And, you know, you get to know people a little bit. You don't get to know them well, but the people appreciate that little kindness to them. Be kind to the people who come to your door delivering for. Be kind to the shop assistant who is putting the stuff through the checkout. Be kind to those that you meet in the street. Have kind words for those that you meet in the street who are from your community. Ask them, how are they doing? How are you getting on? Look in on people who you think might value that or might need that right now. Be kind. Be kind in what you say online. It's too easy. Online, I know some people hate Facebook. It's been a wonderful tool. It's been a wonderful tool for us over the last year. But some people just hate it because they see the evil that happens on Facebook and Twitter, the way that people use words, the way that people say things that they would never say face-to-face, but feel that they have a license to say stuff. If you use social media, be kind in what you say. Try to build up. Say encouraging words. Be generous to people. Don't slag others off. Be helpful, be kind. And then cultivate kindness developing in your own life. Just do this. Get right with God. Every day, thank God for his kindness to you and say, God, thank you for your kindness to me and forgiving me and sending Jesus to die for my sin. Help me to walk with you today. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We said this last week, Matthew 6:33. Put him first in every aspect of your life. Know that he is with you always, Matthew 28:20, even to the end of the age, and allow your trust in him to develop as you become more like him. And then lastly, and this is very personal, God loves you and is kind to you. Did you know that? God loves you and is kind to you. He's given you Jesus. You know what that means? That kindness begins like this. God loves you and is kind to you. He thinks the world of you. He thinks everything of you. Therefore, if you're not kind to yourself, why is that? If he's kind to you, why don't you be kind to yourself? If he loves you, then why don't you love yourself? Some of us here need to hear that message. Be kind to yourself this week. Do you know why? Because if you're kind to yourself and you appreciate God's love for you, you will find it so much easier to share God's kindness, his love, with those around you. May God bless his word to us today, and may God help us to cultivate the fruit of kindness in what we say and what we do. Amen.